On today's show, we're talking with a 64-year-old bodybuilder to find out what it takes to be healthy for a lifetime, plus your questions and comments, and the web report, all on episode number 96 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello and welcome to the show. So Russ, we're going to jump right in here. You have lost weight continuously, religiously, every single show for about the last, I don't know, 7 or 8 shows. Are you still on this weight loss train?
Yes, I did. It was a pitiful amount, but it was some weight loss. I am down to 215 and a half. Down about less than a pound, maybe about 3/4 of a pound from last show. So not good in the, overall getting to my goal, but, down just a little bit. So it's better than the opposite.
Well, we'll see how your goals were and then we'll decide.
Eating goals, I think, are 10 out of 10. I've been just on it. But, as far as my exercise goals, probably a 6 out of 10. That's been the thing. It's been taking its toll on me. Maybe it's getting a little bit fatigued, but maybe I need to change it up and do something different. And so I'd say my motivation for the week, probably a good 8 out of 10. Still got my mentally, really looking forward to hitting that goal for the 100th show. So I'm going to get there.
One thing that you mentioned on the last show, that it seems like it's getting harder to lose weight the more weight that you've lost. Why do you think that is?
I don't know, Jeff. It was so easy to lose weight. When you're almost 300 pounds, it seems to just fall off effortlessly. And, as I've gotten closer to my ultimate goal here, it's just gotten harder and harder.
Well, just because you're getting closer. I remember when we started this show out, you could eat more than I eat on a daily basis and still lose weight simply because you were carrying around so much weight and your daily caloric burn, just because you were heavier, was so much more. So now as you're getting closer to your goal, you have to tighten things up just a little bit more and a little bit more. And I guess it kind of sucks. The lighter you are, the less you can eat to see results.
Yeah, I'm not hungry or anything. So maybe that's it too. Maybe I need to be hungry just a little bit more. We'll find out. But it is nice just to have those numbers go down continually. And so I'm not complaining, but it would be nice to have it be a little bit more each week.
Well, you are now down 85 pounds, and that is just a huge amount of weight and mass. It's just incredible. But let's move on and let's get right into our email and comment section.
Yep. Our first email came in from listener Shannon.
And she wrote, "It's great to listen to your show for sensible, healthy living advice. I have been listening for just a few weeks now, but have found myself hooked, sometimes listening to several episodes a day in the car, at lunch, etc. I have been running regularly for a year now and doing strength training consistently for around 6 months. I have seen the weight I put on in college start to come off as I embraced a healthier diet and active lifestyle, but I hit a weight loss plateau while eating what I thought was a hearty amount every day and working out 5 times a week. After listening to your show, I realized that since I am quite tall and very active, I actually needed to eat 300 to 400 calories more than what I felt comfortable with and up my calorie intake to an appropriate level for somebody at my height, goal weight, and activity levels. It's been great adding healthy 5th and 6th meals to my routine and eating lean protein at every meal, and I've seen the pounds start to come off again. Thanks so much."
Yep. Shannon also goes on to ask us about the Fitbit, which we've been trying to get a review copy of. So as soon as we get one, we'll let you know about that and review it for you. But why I want to share this email with you all is that the part of Shannon's email that said this: "It's been great adding the healthy 5th and 6th meals to my routine and eating lean protein at every meal. And I've seen the pounds starting to come off again." There's an exclamation point there. Did you miss it there? She's eating more and she's started to lose weight again. Now, how many times in the last 3 years have we been talking about eating more to lose weight, eating above your basal metabolic rate to lose weight without ever going on a diet? Now, as recently as the last show, I believe we answered a question from the person that couldn't believe that she could be eating 500 more calories than the measly 1,200 that she was eating right now. Oh, and that was 1,200 calories she was eating and not losing any weight.
I find it really rewarding to hear from so many people who are trying so hard to lose weight and they get stuck in a plateau simply because they're trying too hard. For them, they think they're having just awesome success because they're eating little and they're exercising like crazy. But when they don't lose weight, I can understand just how frustrating that it must be. And I think no one on their own is just going to decide, oh, I'll start eating more and exercising less, because that's opposite to common sense and it's opposite to what they've been thinking so long and so hard. And I think it's just rewarding that people follow our advice and they get out of that plateau and get right back to losing fat.
Yeah, they're kind of recovering dieters, if that to coin a term.
That's right. It's all about working smarter, not necessarily harder in this weight loss game. But let's move on to our second email. And this email came in from Ruth.
Yep, she wrote here, "Hello, guys. Hope you're both doing well. Your podcast is great. You are both so inspirational and give such good advice. I've never emailed podcasters or posted on websites, etc., but I felt that you were the guys I should email as I trust your advice. At age 29, I weigh 278 pounds. I measured my waist and hips last night and am so ashamed I cannot tell you the results. I've been trying for a while to lose all this poundage, and I generally lose 9 to 10 pounds and then pile it back on again. Since I found your podcast, I am trying again, and I am recording my calorie intake and exercise on myfitnesspal.com. And I have just decided that this is going to be slow but worth it. I'm a bit stuck on what to do about my work. I am a cardiac surgical nurse and have to work nights, sometimes a mix of days and nights in the same week. The day shift is usually 7:30 to 9, 10 o'clock by the time you get out, and nights are 7:30 to 9 a.m. Normally, I work 3 to 4 shifts a week and 1 week of nights a month. Nights have been particularly hard. I don't know what to eat and when to exercise. During the night, I generally don't eat at all, have breakfast when I get home, and I'm normally so wrecked that I have to sleep until it's time to go to work again. Any weight I lose, I put back on when I'm on nights, and because of staff shortages, I am doing a full month of nights. What are the best foods to be eating at night, and when should I exercise? Should I get an hour in before my shift or in the morning when I get home? I have so much weight to lose that it seems that I will never do it, and I do get very depressed over it. I am really determined to lose the fat and get fit permanently. Thanks for all your advice."
Well, first of all, any shift work is incredibly hard on your body. It isn't so hard once you get used to working a regular shift, even if it is the overnight shift. But when your work schedule is constantly changing, your body simply can't adapt. And I've personally worked shift work in the past, and I did absolutely everything wrong. And I'll tell you what I did. For 5 summers, I worked a combination of days and nights, and I can attest to that I was physically exhausted most of the time. When I was working shift work like that, we had a minimum break of 10 hours between shifts, and when things got really busy, you could end up working 3 shifts in a row with a 10-hour break between each shift. I was working at a large retail grocery store, and when I think back now to the night shift, I always gained weight during those months. This is quite embarrassing now, but I would usually work with 3 or 4 other guys, and when we would take our 3 a.m. break, most of us would either grab a liter of chocolate milk or a 2-liter Coke or Pepsi. We would then also split a full bag of cookies and a party-sized bag of potato chips. And we'd do this on our break, and sometimes we'd do this twice a night on 2 breaks. There were no energy drinks back then, but our goal was to get as much sugar in just to keep our bodies going because we were all just exhausted and tired. Now I know that was the totally wrong thing to do. We might have had some extra energy for an hour, but the rest of those calories probably just turned right to fat. Everyone else was also trying to have a regular life and sleep schedule at the same time, so most would try to stay awake as long as they could and would even still eat their regular meals with their families. And eating throughout the night, eating throughout the day, this was just a perfect recipe for weight gain. Now, if you have months at a time on a regular schedule, no matter what time it is, things are pretty easy. All that you need to do is switch around your sleeping and eating schedules. But for most shift work, if it ranges during normal working hours, the recommendation is generally to keep your regular eating and sleeping schedules as normal as you can, and get to the gym or workout, whatever is most convenient for you. But when you throw in overnight shifts, this really doesn't work very well. Losing weight or gaining weight is all about the caloric balance over a 24-hour period. Most people end up eating more when their sleep schedules are all messed up simply because they end up eating extra meals. So for example, if you wake up twice in a 24-hour period, most people end up having 2 breakfasts. Now, it's been 17 years since I've worked 24-hour shift work, but knowing what I know now, this is exactly what I would do and recommend. I would base my current lifestyle around when I'm sleeping, not on the 24-hour clock. Your hunger and food cravings are all confused right now, so in your waking hours, keep your food intake as regular as you can. I would follow all of our typical suggestions that we normally give here. The most important one would be to eat a small meal about every 3 hours when you are awake. You do have to be conscious of the total calories in each of those meals, but when you're dealing with sleep deprivation, you don't also want to be dealing with lows in blood sugar. You also don't want to have spikes in your blood sugar by eating junk along the way like I used to. The thing about a sugar spike is after an hour or so, you are still hungry again. All of our recommendations about eating healthy, unprocessed foods will still apply here. So you want to eat that lean protein, complex carbohydrates, eat often, and just keep eating every 3 hours. As for exercising, I would also base that on your sleep. Either do it right when you wake up or right before you go to bed, whichever one works for you. So currently, when you're on days, do you work out before you go to sleep and you find you have no trouble falling asleep, or do you need to do it first thing in the morning? Just do that same schedule, even if your sleep schedule is a little bit wonky. And of course, these suggestions are the ideal, assuming that you had no other commitments in your daily life, but that is probably the best way to attempt some normalcy in your life.
That's good advice, Jeff. I have never had to do that kind of work. If I ever had an overnight shift, like for doing inventory at a job, it was kind of a one-off thing, and I would do it like once every quarter or something like that. So I never had to deal with this kind of thing.
Well, I remember the first day that I did an overnight shift, and it was just so unique, and it was fun, and it was a cool thing to do. But that really goes away quite quickly when you then try and go out and have a regular life the next day, and you just realize how exhausted you can be. I'm just really impressed by anyone who can handle shift work, you know, constantly month after month. It makes your life so much harder, and especially with weight loss. That's probably about the best advice I can give, is to try and get your life normal when your life really isn't normal.
Well, good. All right. We want to thank Shannon and Ruth for their emails. If you'd like to get your comment or question to us, there are a few ways you can do that. The first one is by leaving a comment on the website at fattofitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
Third way is to leave a voicemail by clicking on the Call Me button over on the website, fattofitradio.com.
Or you can join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
All right, well, now we're going to get into the web report with a couple of news items. And Jeff, this first item you have here, it's exciting just to hear the title of it.
That's right. My story this week comes from ABC News. And of course, we'll have a link in the show notes. Now, it's actually over a year old, but I just noticed it. And it's entitled, Study Predicts the Obesity Apocalypse by 2030. And this is talking about a study that was released in the journal Obesity, but it had some shocking results. It was looking at the trends of obesity statistics over the last 30 years and did some projections. Now, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the prevalence of overweight and obesity in adults in the U.S. is currently at 66%. Based on the trends, and this includes some years where the obesity levels seem to be leveling off, the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health is predicting that by 2030, 86% of all Americans will be overweight or obese. They have even predicted that 100% of Americans will be overweight or obese by 2048. So in 38 years, given the current trends, every single person in the United States will be overweight. Now, of course, not everyone is agreeing with the 100% value, but many people can now see the obesity epidemic reaching that 86% with the way things are going right now. When the American population reaches 86% obese, one in every $6 spent on healthcare will be spent as a result of health-related issues caused by obesity. And one last statistic that I'll mention here from this article is that the average American eats 50 pounds more meat and 20 pounds more cheese per year compared to the 1960s. So even if you base your predictions on the sheer amount of calories in the food that the average person is now eating per year, as it has been rising, so are everyone's obesity levels. When you take into account that the average person is getting less physical activity as well, if things don't change, I can see these dire predictions really becoming reality. 100% obesity, that's really a scary prediction.
Yeah, 66%, I mean, is scary enough, which is our current levels of obesity and overweight people, but 86% and by 2030, and then 100% by 2048. And we're talking about they're coming out of the womb fat, Jeff. That just seems crazy.
Well, I can definitely see the 86%. That's only another 20% increase. And the way things are going, the way that food is becoming denser and cheaper for junk food and processed foods, it gets harder and harder to be thinner in today's society. But let's move on to your news item, Russ. What do you have this week?
So you may recall, if you're a frequent listener to the show, that we discussed a military fitness site. It was very comprehensive, showing what exercises to do, how to do them, and what to eat. It was a complete 16-week course. It was published by the military for the military, but if you were looking for a free plan to follow, you could do worse. Well, it turns out that the military is not putting out this information just to be nice. They have a serious problem on their hands. Their guidelines for weight are disqualifying many willing recruits. Now, it says here in this article, it's over at CNN, that more than a quarter of young adults are unable to meet physical requirements to join the military. Now, they say this is a threat to national security. There's not enough soldiers. Now, the article gives a couple examples here. The maximum weight depends on the person's sex, height, and age. The Army allows a woman who is between 21 to 27 years of age with a height of 5'3" and no prior service. That means she's new and coming into the service. She can be up to 137 pounds. Now, a man of the same age, 21 to 27, with a height of 5'8" and also a new recruit, no prior service, can weigh up to 186 pounds. Now, that weight allotment increases if you are older and if you are taller, but those are fairly decent weights. But, you know, with that 66% obesity rate in our country, you can see why that's a problem. It also says that the Army's body fat limit for women in the same age range with no prior service is 32% and for males, 26%. So if this sounds unprecedented, that the military would be worried about potential recruits getting too fat to fight, you'd be wrong. In the article, they also referred to a similar push military leaders made in 1945. They were concerned about poor nutrition in potential recruits, and that resulted in the creation of our national school lunch program. So this is not a new problem, but it's kind of rearing its head after many years.
And your article really fits in with mine. What's going to happen when they reach 86 or 100% obesity? There'll be no new soldiers.
In college, I had a fraternity brother that was in the Marines. He was in the reserve, and he was saying that the Marines can turn, in boot camp and they're in training, they can turn a skinny guy into kind of a buff guy. And those who are overweight will, you know, we will be a little bit thinner and they will be much, much better shape when they are done with boot camp and ready for military service. But there are limits that what they can do. Though that's interesting that it's also, you know, a national security threat.
Well, we're talking about the short term here, people trying to get into the military. But let's move into our feature section where we're talking about lifelong fitness, 30, 40 years down the road.
On the feature section this week, we're going to be talking to Russ Young. Russ is a 64-year-old bodybuilder and has been living a bodybuilder-type lifestyle for 35 years. Welcome to the show, Russ.
Thank you.
All right, so Russ, tell us a little background. When did you start working out?
I started working out to try out, actually, for the fire department, Long Beach Fire Department, in late 70s, mid-70s, I think. And eventually built a gym in my garage and started lifting seriously then, and been lifting and a bodybuilding sort of kind of weightlifting way for that long and consistently for a long period of time.
Well, Russ, I'm just looking at your bodybuilding.com profile, and it says that your overall goal is to try to maintain or improve the level of fitness I have achieved as I get older. So are you still getting heavier and heavier weights month after month, year after year?
Well, that's interesting. In my mid to late 50s, I was asked to compete in the bodybuilding contest for the first time down in Venice Beach. And I like doing it, and I'm in pretty good shape, and I'm lean and fairly athletic and stuff. And I decided I wanted to add more muscle. I was too lean. I needed some more muscle. So I had this quest to see if you could build muscle as you get older, gain muscle and lose fat. So from that point, which was in 01, I weighed 159 pounds. I remember that because I had a weigh-in deal. And I weighed 159. Now I'm 64. I weigh 185. So I've managed to gain about 20 pounds of lean muscle in my late 50s, early 60s. And I think I'm pretty much where I'm going to be right now. But it can be done. And you just have to consistently push yourself. That's the key. And consistently try to lift heavy and not hurt yourself. And make consistency over a long period of time is the key, really.
So before you started working out and getting ready for that, to train for the fire department, what was your lifestyle like before that, that you decided that you needed to gain the muscle?
I was younger, though. I mean, this is 35 years ago, so, I'm pretty active and stuff, but I just didn't take up weightlifting as a regular regimen until then, and I realized I liked it, and I liked the discipline involved and stuff. And I liked the results you could get, and I could see results. And, and over time, over such a long period of time, you become very instinctive about your body because, you've been trained for so long and eaten so many different things, you realize what works and what doesn't work, and, you know, how much weight you need to lift and how much you need to push yourself, and a lot of those little biofeedback things, I think, you learn over time.
So if we just go along with that, you were saying that you've done a lot of different diets and a lot of different workouts. What are some of the things that you did in the past that you tried out and really didn't work for you, and how have you progressed? So, like, what are you doing right now?
I pretty much have used the same sort of routines, although I've tried all kinds of different ones over time, and, you know, supersets, triple sets, giant sets, single sets, high reps, low reps, 100 rep sets, all kinds of different things, and kind of found what works for me. And I mean, I can gain still, even at my age, if I apply myself and eat right and everything, I could gain muscle lifting enough and pushing myself enough to do it. I know it can be done because I know what I need to do it. And it gets harder to do that as you get older. But it's still possible, and my strength level is still pretty much where it's been for a long time. I mean, still as strong as I was 5 years ago. Stamina, endurance-wise, some days I'm off the chart. And, you know, today's one of them, I suppose, because this was my day today. I got up at 3:30. I go to the gym at 5, and this is after working 11 hours yesterday. But I got up at 3:30 this morning, went to the gym at 5, worked out, started working at 7, and didn't finish work until 6, and been on my feet all day, haven't stopped. I have a pool maintenance repair business, and we're real busy right now, so I'm able to do that. And still recuperate enough to do it again tomorrow. And not forever, but I do need a break now and then. But I find as you get older, if you push yourself enough, it still works. And that's the whole key, pushing yourself enough to get results that you need.
That is definitely impressive. I know people, you know, 30 years younger than you cannot go with that sort of schedule and maintain, you know, normal life. They're just exhausted. So it really shows that 35 years of training, you're definitely a lot tougher than the average person your age.
Yeah, you develop a reservoir. Yeah, that's for sure. You do. I kind of pride myself on the fact that I can do that still, you know, that I can put in a day like that, and makes you feel productive. And I like that feeling.
So you have a family, you have your pool maintenance business. Have you found that your number of workouts and your strict diet have caused any kind of problems with family life or with work life?
No, not really, because I work out so early in the morning, it doesn't really affect anybody. You know, 5 o'clock in the morning, you're not bothering too many people. And I've been doing that for a long time. I guess it's kind of sad to think that that's the peak of your day physically, is 5 in the morning. But really, that's my body's become accustomed to that. I've been doing it for like 20 years. From then, after I work out in the morning at 7, it's just sort of steadily downhill after that physically. But I managed to make it through the day.
So let's kind of switch over to your food and supplements and things that your diet.
Sure.
And so do you follow a typical kind of bodybuilder diet with a lot of supplements, or do you kind of stick with more just eating regular food?
There again, I've learned, you know, after, you know, 30 years of doing this and 30 years of my business too, which really affords a lifestyle where you really can burn and a lot of calories and your metabolism stays fast and stuff because you're always moving around. And I've learned over time how to utilize that and how to eat and you really have to be disciplined in eating and stuff if you really want to put the whole package together and try to work out and work hard and all that kind of stuff. You have to eat along with that too. And I've learned that my body really needs a lot of protein, and because I'm burning a lot of calories. So in a typical day, I'm still eating probably 7-8 times a day, solid food and protein drinks, half and half. I supplement with protein drinks because they're convenient and add protein that way. But I really need it. And if I don't get enough, I know it. And unfortunately, my job, it really elevates my metabolism. So I'm really burning up a lot of food and drinking a lot of water and stuff too. So it all kind of works together, I guess. And I've learned over time that I really have to feed myself appropriately. And it's usually small meals spaced throughout the day. And typically, I might have half a sandwich and half a protein drink, and then a couple hours later, the other half protein drink, you know, kind of like that.
So you've definitely lived the lifestyle for years, and you're showing it. When people see your pictures, you know, on bodybuilding.com, like, this is really impressive stuff. How are you in comparison to friends of your own age right now?
Well, that's interesting because I've had a few reunions recently, 45 years since I graduated from high school, so there's been some changes. I usually do get quite a few comments when I go there, and it's kind of funny, I guess, I'm not as old as I think I am, I don't think I'm as old as I am, but the reality is you go to a reunion to find out you really are, and hopefully you've aged well.
That's kind of funny, because Russ and myself, we just had our 20-year high school reunions, and one of Russ's big goals right now is get back down to his high school weight so he'd look the same from high school.
There you go. Well, you know what? I still, at 64, I still wear the same size Levi's as I did in high school, 31, 32s.
Very nice.
Yeah, and I don't take the tag off the pants, so people look at it and they can see I wear a 31. I think that was on a Seinfeld episode. But I weigh 185, and I'm about 6-7% body fat most of the time. So I kind of stay right around in there.
All right, so now you mentioned that you were asked to compete in a bodybuilding contest. What year was that, mm-hmm. and what was the reason that you were asked to compete?
Yeah, it was in 2001, and the gym I work out at, there's a trainer in there named Bill Howard, and Bill Howard has been involved in Venice Beach and Muscle Beach for 50 years. He runs all the shows and stuff down there and really has put that whole Venice Beach thing together over the years. And he's always out promoting and stuff, and so they have contests down there during the summer, and they needed older guy masters groups. They have 40, over 40s, over 50s, and over 60s. So he'd seen me in the gym and knew I was over 50 and they needed some guys. So he asked me to do it, and I go, that's different. Why not? And so I did, and I got second place, and really found out I liked it. And it kind of gave me some goals, and I kind of utilized that over time. And since then, since 01, what I've done is I've used underwater fat testing on a regular basis to sort of chart my progress. And I haven't done it recently. It's been a few years, but for every 6 months or so for quite a long time, I'd had it done. And there you know what's going on. And you can see it, lean muscle, body fat, the whole nine yards. So it kind of, using that as a goal to gain muscle and lose fat. And, a year later, you realize, geez, I gained six pounds of lean muscle last year and I lost half a pound of body fat. It's tangible. You see results on paper too, and I kind of utilize that to see how I could. And I have charted over eight or nine different body fat sessions I had done, the progress I made over 5 years or so. So it can be done, and that was really my goal at the time to get there and try that. And I'm kind of like where I am right now. I've been there that way for a long time. I've kind of maintained it. My ability to recuperate and go into the gym. I mean, my leg days in the gym when I go in on Saturday mornings, I do legs usually. They're pretty intense. We're talking, five sets of supersets, leg extensions and leg presses to warm up, and then eight or nine sets of squats and four sets of lunges, supersetted with four sets of sissy squats and calf raises and seated calf raises, and that's my leg routine. I've been doing that for a long time, and I know if I push myself, I could still do that. I'm maintained a certain level of fitness in my mind, and a certain way I want to feel. I think it's all about really how you end up feeling.
So are the rest of your family into fitness like you are, or are you just kind of on your own going to the gym?
No, my wife works out too. She goes to a different gym, works out at a different time than I do. But we do. She makes that commitment too. And only, but hers is, she's a teacher, so hers is at the end of the day, after school. But she puts in, probably works out longer than I do, because she does cardio, and I don't do cardio. I probably should do some, but with my job, and I work out pretty intensely when I'm working out. And so I had a stress test done recently, too, and that was kind of interesting. And but that wasn't a problem. So I know that cardiovascularly I'm getting the workout I need. And I do tend to find riding the bike or something in the gym kind of boring. And so if I don't have to, I guess I don't do it. Even when I was training for these contests and stuff, I never did. I could get down to 5% body fat without doing that.
So do you have quite a swing in body weight and body fat when you're kind of in the off season and then you start preparing for a competition? You're eating a lot less to cut your weight?
No, not at all. If anything, I'm always trying to gain. And the only reason at my age that I do these shows when they come up is because I don't have to do a whole lot to do them. And if I had a diet for 10 or 12 weeks like that, I just wouldn't do it. It's just not worth that much to me to do that. So I kind of try to maintain, you know, where I'm at, how I am and stuff, and without too much deviation, a couple pounds here or there, really. I've gotten to the point where I just am kind of stable there. And it's really, with me, it's more calories than anything else because of my lifestyle and my job and stuff. I mean, I can eat a lot. And today's a good example because I did eat a lot today, including a stop at Burger King for a Whopper. So there you go.
So what do you estimate your daily caloric intake?
Over 3,000 calories, yeah.
That is definitely impressive because you have a lot of muscle and you're active and you can eat that much. A lot of people think when they get older.
Well, you have to maintain muscle, yeah. You got to eat a lot, you know, eat big, you know, get big, eat big, that kind of thing. I'm not that big, but, you know, I do have some fullness and stuff, and you have to eat a lot, you know, and you have to eat a lot of protein. You know, I'm burning a lot of calories and stuff if I'm not eating a lot to replace all that. I mean, my body is so efficient at burning calories, and food goes through me so much, so fast, and liquids too. I mean, in the morning, I start off with a lot of different protein drinks and things before I go to the gym, even in the morning. And by 9 or 10, I've peed, I don't know, 8 or 9 times. Huh. I mean, you know, your metabolism's working when that happens. So that's the whole key, I think, really. And that, and fitness and stuff is getting metabolism going, you know, keeping it moving. And that's, and I don't think it has to slow down when you get older either. I think lifestyles slow down when you get older with a lot of people, but I don't necessarily think your metabolism has to unless you're, you know, willing to get into it. And so far, so good.
So just switching over to kind of an overall health, have you found that, you know, this kind of lifestyle has made you just healthier overall and just kind of resistant to colds or just, you know, maybe some of the more common things, diseases and things that as you get older you might get?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, I've overcome numerous, you know, things thinking I was going to have knee surgery or shoulder surgery or something or other. You know, I mean, over the years, there have been a lot of things. But fortunately, I've been able to not have to do any of that. And you develop some resiliency, for sure. And your ability to overcome injuries and stuff there is really enhanced. And your immune system and, you know, the whole thing is kind of works together. I don't know. I don't get sick. And even though, I mean, I'm doing all this in 5 hours sleep a night, usually I don't sleep that much either. I think that's another interesting thing, of the better shape you're in, the less sleep you need. I think a lot of people would say that. So that was kind of interesting.
So do you see yourself stopping this kind of lifestyle anytime in the future? Or is this pretty much the way you're going to be till the end?
Yeah, it's a good way to put it. Till the end, it probably will be that way. You know, I was joking about this in the gym the other day. I guess my preferred way to go out would be over there in the corner of the gym with a squat rack, and you can call the paramedics then and just kind of wheel me out, and I'll be over there, and I'll hit the wall running. I can't see myself not doing it because I know how you feel. I guess when you find that your body can really take a lot, you know, if you push it a lot, and what you get back when you do, it's not easy. I mean, it's tough. I mean, you're tired. I mean, I'm tired a lot. End of the day, I sleep well. I don't sleep long, but I do sleep well. But your body can really bounce back if everything's done right, and it can tolerate a lot, I think. I know I keep testing it, at least with long work days and then trying to work out and all of that kind of stuff, too. And I find that the harder and more I push myself, the more I get back in return. So it kind of all works together, I guess.
We had a listener write in. He's a baby boomer. He's in his early 60s and not in particularly good shape from the sound of his email. And if you're going to give advice to somebody who, say, is retired now or just getting ready to retire, but they're not in such great shape, where should they start?
Well, they should definitely start with somebody who's not, with a trainer and somebody who's real knowledgeable, you know. And there's a lot of good trainers around, but you really need to learn. You know, there's a lot of, you know, feedback and weight training and stuff that takes time and really to learn to lift in the correct way. And I think somebody starting off needs a lot of help to do that, get them started off on the right foot. And then it'll be something they enjoy doing. And it should be. And it should be something you do for lifestyle and long time and the rest of your life. Because it's one of the best antidotes to aging. I mean, I keep trying to prove that. I suppose I'm on this long-time quest to see how much my body can take and how much I can push it and
how resilient it can be. And I tell you, so far in my mid-60s, it's working out okay so far, knock on wood.
So, Russ, I have to say that 35 years of training for a 64-year-old, that was really impressive. And he is so strong with sleeping 5 hours, working a full day, working out in the mornings. I can't even handle that right now. I would have to train to work up to his lifestyle.
Yeah, I was tired just listening to him talk about it. You know, that up at 3:30, the gym at 5, and then to work at 7. Because I'm, you know, supposed to be at work at 7. I get there, it's, you know, 7-ish. But wow, that's impressive. And probably the most impressive thing was talking about, you know, in his 50s and now 60s, he's gained 25 pounds of muscle in that time. And that's just amazing.
And just to be able to eat 3,000 calories a day, you know, at 185 pounds, that is a ton of food. And having a fast metabolism, you know, caused by having muscle, lets you eat more. And he can eat healthy and eat tons of food every single day. But, you know, statistically speaking, we talk about how you lose about a half pound of muscle every year after age 30. So statistically, if he was not doing any weight training, he would have about 20 pounds less of lean body mass. So by weight training for all of these years, he's maintained that muscle mass, but continued to grow as well in muscle. I think if any of our listeners are thinking it's too late to get into weight training or start improving or regaining some muscle they've lost, it's really not going to be too late.
You know, it's interesting, Jeff, is the amount of sleep that Russ was getting. That, you know, in the past week, I've been doing this little sleep study on myself, and I've gotten 5 hours of sleep a night, and I know I'm exhausted. And the fact that he's getting up that early, I mean, really, it makes me kind of motivated. You know what? Maybe I can do that too. And I would like to get a workout before I go to work. But yeah, I think, you know, it is motivating. You know, if somebody else does that on that amount of sleep that I'm getting, and that, you know, they are very successful at it.
Well, that's true, but I think sleep is a very individual thing and different people need a different amount of sleep. And as you age, you also need less sleep. So, you know, maybe when he was 30, 40 years younger, he needed 8 hours of sleep.
And I just yawned while you were talking too, so maybe that's not true. Maybe I do need more sleep.
All right, well, let's move on to the recipe of the week.
So the recipe this week is something that you might normally throw away. It is about broccoli stalks. I found this article at theworldfitnessnetwork.com, and it is a recipe for shredded broccoli stalks. Now, my kids won't eat these. They like to eat the tops, and that's it. We don't even buy them. When I go to the grocery store, I buy the broccoli crowns only because they won't touch the stems. But if you shred them, they're an awful lot like lettuce. And so there's a little recipe at the bottom of this post, and you can check it out in the show notes, where you add a couple of things like some beans and maybe some nuts and tomatoes and a little bit of, you know, kind of your normal salad things. And you have this cool salad without actually having lettuce in it. So take a look at that in the show notes and try out the old shredded broccoli stalks. Jeff, have you ever had those?
No, I haven't, but it looks interesting. I never even thought of doing this. It's like the last show, or was it the show before, we talked about having Brinner. Learn something new every show.
Right. Well, very good. Now, Jeff, what is our homework for the week?
Well, the homework this week is to buy or find an old piece of clothing that is just a little bit too small for you. It could be a shirt that's too tight for your comfort, or maybe a pair of pants that you just can't really quite get done up. Find something that you want to be able to fit into in the next 8 weeks for summer. This is your short-term goal clothing or your motivation clothing. When you are at home and have the desire to eat a snack that you really don't need, put on that clothing, look in the mirror, and ask yourself honestly, what do you really want more?
I like it. I like it. So what is our motivational quote for the week?
The quote this week comes from Marvin Phillips, and it's a clever one. The difference between try and triumph is just a little umph.
That is clever. All right. Very good. I want to thank everybody that participated in the show, Shannon, Ruth, and especially Russ Young, for coming on and talk to us about lifting and being healthy for a lifetime. It's really awesome. And all the show notes will be on the website at fat2fitradio.com. Just look for show number 96. And we will talk to you on the next show. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.